Well, good morning. Welcome to the 10:45 service. For those who don't know me, my name's Andy. I'm the youth and young adults pastor here at Windsor. And today, while Grant's overseas, I get to share the message on the Bible with you guys today. But before we jump in, we're into our second week of the second part of our Believe series. Who's enjoying the Believe series so far? Yeah, most of us. Great. I think it's such an amazing opportunity to not go back to the basics, but to revisit our foundational stuff that forms our faith. What an amazing privilege to be able to look back and just cover some of those things again and dig a bit deeper. As I was saying, we're in our third week of the second part of what is called Acts. So that kind of tells us something, that we kind of got to get doing, right? So the first week of this, Jo Shane, our worship pastor, she covered the topic of worship. And Jo said that we worship because we want to worship God for what He has done in our lives, right? We want to give God the glory. We want to worship Him, and we want to just be thankful for what He's done in our lives. And I would say what He's going to do in our lives. Last week, while I was overseas on Waiheke, because Roy knew was here being inducted, we swapped roles, and now this week it's the other way around. But last week, Grant would have preached on the topic of prayer. And he would have covered that we pray because we want to know God more. We want to know His will, His direction, and His desires for our life. And then we bring what I said over on Waiheke last week, we bring our shopping list. Once we've sought God and we've found that place of knowing who I am, Father, help me in my everyday life. Help me with this. Lead and guide me here. Prayer, what an amazing opportunity to just be with God. And today, you stuck with me sharing on the topic of the Bible. God's Word. Not just a book that takes up space on my bookshelf, but this is the living, breathing, active, life-changing, life-bringing Word of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, as we gather in Your name, not one of us are here. I pray, Father, for our selfish own wants. But Father, that we are here, Lord, we want to learn more of You. Father, we want to dig deeper into Your Word, into Your who You are and where You are taking us. For when we are found in You, Father, we are found in Your Word. So Lord Jesus, as I speak, I pray that it is not me that speaks to Your people. But Lord, I pray that by the power of Your Spirit, You will boldly speak into the lives, the minds, and the most inner being of Your people here today. Lord, move me out of Your way if I get in the way, but speak into the lives of Your people. In Jesus' name, amen. I had the privilege this week of speaking at Carey Baptist College on Monday night. I got an invitation to run one of the seminars there for an evening that they call Grow Night. And Grow Night is specifically aimed at our young and future leaders in the church. So specifically aimed at year 11s, year 12s, and year 13s, that we would think would make great leaders in the church, and great leaders of our nation even. So I shoulder tapped all of our current intermediate ministry leaders and said, guys, I really think this would be an amazing opportunity for you. And I actually went to our year 11 group, and I see one of them is there, Liam, shout out, and said, guys, I want all of you to come because I really believe in every single one of you. Tim, I didn't see you. You were hiding behind someone. And I really went to them and said, I believe in you guys. I think you guys can be incredible leaders. Come to this night. So a bunch of us ended up going. We had to borrow both of the Bay's youth vans plus take an extra car. What an amazing opportunity. And end up getting there. And my topic was how to grow your faith, your personal faith. Now, for those of you who know me, I'm really passionate about that because I believe that you can't be an effective leader in the church if you are not growing your faith, if you're not challenging your own faith, if you're not walking the talk. And how do we grow our own faith? There was two other seminars there, one on leadership is no magic trick, done by one of the Carey lecturers. Another one specifically for intermediate ministry. This is the age group that went, right? Specifically for leadership in intermediate ministry. I thought, man, those are great topics. I might get three or four. I might get eight along to my one. And I thought, that's fine. You know, we're here to equip leaders. Those are both great leadership topics. Leadership isn't magic. It's something that you need to grow in. And how do we do that? Intermediate ministry, two of the most foundational years of our young people's lives where they make a decision to follow Jesus and to stay in the church happens in those 2 years. I think, what do I have to offer other than Jesus? Of course, the most valuable thing. I know that. I go into the chapel at Carey, and I'm busy trying to sort out my laptop to get the PowerPoint working, and of course, like all good IT systems, it didn't work. So while I'm faffing around, and I turn around, and there's 60-plus people in the room. There was only 100, maybe 100, who went to the evening. So I stand back, and I go, okay, game face on, you better get this right. But it made me think, people want to grow their faith. If I had to ask that question, do you want to grow your faith? I'll put money on that. Every hand will go up. Who doesn't want to grow their faith? Because I want to know Jesus more. I want to know his will for my life. It's like Google Maps. I want to know where I'm going. Yeah? I asked the question in the room, somewhere into the thing, who reads their Bible weekly? Thought I'd be generous. You know, we'll go shoot for a week. So in a week, who reads their Bible every week? About 6 hands go up. I'm being generous, okay? I asked another question a little later on. I mean, okay, we know who reads their Bible weekly. Maybe there's hope here. This is me thinking. Who reads their Bible every single day? Thinking, okay, the hand's going to go up. One hand goes up. And it's the pastor sitting in the back. So good on you, good and faithful servant. You know? Then I asked the question, and I've deliberately got my phone in my back pocket. And when I did this in the first service, as I pulled my phone out, someone's phone rings. It was quite funny. Then I asked the question, who has a Bible? Or who has a Bible app on their phone? Nope, didn't ring. Every single hand went up. They've either got a Bible or they've got an app on their phone. Yet, 1 out of 60 read the Word of God every single day. And that's kind of cheating because he gets paid to do it. 6 people, including that gentleman who sat in the back. So 5 of our young people, leaders, and another pastor who sat just in here. So 4 of our young people put their hands up. And it made me think, what is going on that 60 plus people are sitting in a room desperately wanting to get tools because I said, hey, I'm going to give you 8 tools that you're going to pop in your toolbox. And believe me, if you follow them, if you do them, it's going to be great. Life will be perfect. You'll have no problem. No, I didn't say that. I said, you know what? 8 tools that you can grow on, that you can develop in your everyday life that will grow your faith. The most important one, read your Bible. I heard someone once say, if you want to hear the audible voice of God, read your Bible out loud. And 4 of our young people are doing it. It made me wonder, what's up with that? What is wrong with this picture? So I've been reflecting on a piece of scripture this week for this morning. The answer became glaringly obvious. And I think it's one that every single one of us battle with. So I want to share it. I want to read from Hebrews 4 verse 12. The word of God is alive and active. It is sharper than a double-edged sword. It cuts all the way through to where the soul and spirit meet, to where joints and marrow come together. It judges the desires and the thoughts of our heart. I think there's our answer. Let's give this a little bit. Where is this author getting this from? What has sparked him to write this? We find the answer in Psalm 95, verses 7. These are the words ringing in the author's ears. For he is our God, and we are his people. We are his flock under his care. This is the key coming here. Today, every day we get to make a decision. This is our decision. Today, if only you would hear his voice. Today, if only you would hear his voice. Where's his voice found? Where do we need to listen up? The word of God. The emphasis here is on voice and listen. Listen up. Hear what our Lord Jesus is telling us. In this alive and active book. When this book just gathers dust on the shelf, it's nothing more than any of those other books in your shelf. And I'm not meaning to offend anybody here, but it becomes alive and active when we pick it up and we open God's word, we read and we listen to his voice. Amen. Amen. However, here in Hebrews isn't the only place that we hear how powerful God's word is. And just to pick on a few, and sticking with the sword analogy, Ephesians 6 verse 17, the word of God is referred to as the sword of the Spirit. In Revelations 1:16, 2:12, and 19 verse 15, the word is referred to as a sharp word that proceeds from the mouth of the Son of Man, Jesus himself. And the word being a strong word of judgment in Revelations. In Hebrews, the word is spoken as a sharp word, as a word that is active, as a word that is alive, and it is as sharp as a double-edged sword that speaks into the deepest, darkest, that area in your life that nobody knows about, that one. That's how deep Jesus loves you and wants to know you. And that's how deep the Word of God speaks. And I think it is here that we start to see why not many people like reading God's Word. because God's word today is still as active and as alive as it was yesterday. Today's word still is as sharp and cuts as deep as a double-edged sword. Still today, it cuts all the way through to where the soul and spirit meet. Still today, and here's the crutch, here's the tough bit. Still today, it cuts as deep and sees the desires and the thoughts of our heart. See, when we start talking about matters of the heart, when this Bible, when God's word starts convicting me about what's in my heart, I don't want to read it. Well, people, we're in the second part of our Believe series. Guess what? We have to read it. If we want to take our relationship with Jesus serious, we have to read it and we have to act on it. I'm sorry, Christianity is not a spectator sport. It calls us to action. If I love Jesus, and I want to say this morning, I love Jesus almost more than breathing, because I want to keep breathing, because I want to keep telling people about Jesus. So there's a bit of a catch-22 there. But I love Jesus. And if I love Jesus, I want to know more about him. If I love Jesus, my Bible's doodled everywhere, because I want to know him more. So back to my question. Why get so many people to, how do I grow my faith? Why get, you know, so many young people? Because I think the culture we live in today is a fast-moving, fast-paced, you can go and get food in under 3 minutes. You can go and get a pill that's going to make you feel better. You don't have to eat healthily. Go and take a pill. We don't have to. But you know what? We come to a seminar on how to grow your faith because we're hoping we're going to get some shortcut to getting to our desired outcome without putting in the hard yards first. Everybody, I think, who's married in this room and who's been married for more than 3 minutes knows that marriage is tough. It's a journey. It's, you know, it's got its ups and its downs. And when we're down, we just want to be up. But you know what? In that valley, you've got to go through the mud. You've got to go through the river. You've got to go through those tough times. And my Bible tells me, man, you know what? He's going to take me back to the top of the valley, back to the top of the hill, where I get to witness his glory, where I get to see the cattle on 1,000 hills. That's not prosperity teaching. That's just, man, imagine the view. When you can see 1,000 hills, that's my Jesus. How do I know that Jesus? Because I read my Bible. It does make us uncomfortable. And we read the word. Because this isn't a bad word found here in Hebrews 4 verse 12, that the word of God is alive and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It cuts all the way through to where the soul and the spirit meet, to where joints and marrow come together. It judges the desires and thoughts of the heart. This is one of the greatest encouraging scriptures I can imagine. Because that's how much Jesus loves me. That's how well he wants to know me and is willing to journey with me, no matter how bad it gets in there. So it's in that piece of scripture that promises us so much rest, so much assurance and reassurance of how powerful God is and his word. Because the word cuts deep. It judges everything. What this means is we start to get uncomfortable. Because you know why we get uncomfortable? Because we start realizing that Jesus isn't interested in our surface level commitments. He's looking at what's sitting in the heart. And that's what makes it uncomfortable. That's what makes it hard. That's what makes change very difficult. Because on the outside, we can wear masks and, that no one's excluded there. We can say, you know, when you're really feeling bad and someone says, hey, how are you doing? Oh, great. I'm the first one to admit that. Oh, great. Whereas inside, you're going, whoa, there's a bit of insecurity going on. He's like, I've got all this stuff going on. We're not going to tell people that, are we? No, I'm great. For some of us, we may be waiting for blood tests. We may be waiting on results. We may be just been diagnosed with cancer. But we're great. That's where Jesus knows us. And the Word of God and the community of God, this is a safe place. And should be a safe place where when God challenges us, we journey together. The line of this church, who can say it? Life and faith together. It's okay to open God's Word. It's okay to get raw and ugly and uncomfortable, and because you know what? You're not alone. There's what? 200, 300 people in the room with you? It's okay. The challenge is, what is the condition of our hearts? Are we willing to allow God's Word to cut that deep? Is there an openness to believing these words in faith and in Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit? It comes alive and is active in our life. We've got to do something with it. So why then study the Bible? Well, I want to boldly say I study the Bible because I want to know God, His truths, His ways, more every single breath that I take. I study the Bible to find directions for my life. Who's ever used Google Maps or a map or some form of something to get to somewhere? Yeah, everybody's used it. I love the acronym for the Bible. It's like a map. Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. It's not hard. We just got to read it. We've got to be willing for it to lead our life. The same way I can just, modern technology, you've got to love it. My mother-in-law calls me Gadget Boy. I can push a button in the car and say, I want to go to 550 East Coast Road. I don't even have to push anything. I just have to say, navigate to 550 East Coast Road. Voila. The map comes up on the screen, directions, it's all there. Right? Well, guess what? This takes a little bit more effort, but it's the same thing. It's going to give us directions. It's going to take us where we want to go. And where I want to go, and I'm sure most of us in the room want to go, is I want to be with Jesus for eternity. So who's our best person to use as an illustration, I think, for using the Word of God in the world of today? Kind of the world of yesterday, but I think it applies today because biblical truth never changes. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Jesus being tested in the wilderness. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Man, I'd be very hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread, he says. Well, how does Jesus respond? It is written. Jesus says, it is written. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from God. Then the devil took him to the holy city and said to him, stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he says, throw yourself down, for it is written. The devil himself knows the Bible, and he's using it. He's using it. We've got to be careful. It is written. He will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. Jesus answered him, "It is also written, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. Imagine seeing everything in the world. Can you imagine that? I mean, that's pretty cool. Everything. And he says to him, "All of this, I will give you the entire world, all of its kingdoms, if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus says, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him, tail between his legs, gone. And Jesus and the Father sends angels to attend to Jesus. Jesus himself relies on the word to fight off the devil. The devil himself uses the word of God to tempt Jesus. To go, "Hey, but the word also says that nothing can happen to you." "Oh yeah, nothing can happen to me? Yeah, I'll jump off the building." No, he says, don't tempt your Lord, the Lord your God. Bible study, one of the most important things in growing our faith, in learning about Jesus, learning and mapping out this thing called life. Jesus, throughout his entire ministry, intertwines and very specifically introduces Scripture into all of his teachings, into his every single day life, into his thoughts. The Bible today should be exactly that for us. What do we put our focus on? Where do we put our energy that doesn't lead us to Jesus? I challenge my team here in the Next Generation's office. Everything we do, everything. I don't mind if it's a social down on the beach. I don't mind if we're going to play 10-pin bowling or laser tag down in Wairau. I don't care if we're having a Sunday service. If we are not putting Jesus in the room first and then going, right, now what are we going to do? If we're not putting Jesus and his word in the middle of everything we do, my personal challenge is, what's the point? The Bible to us should be like building plans to a builder. Have you got any builders in the house? Oh, good. Because now I won't feel silly. But you know, when you're building, you kind of need a plan. You need to know how big to make the garage. Otherwise, the person's ordered a single garage and you go and build them a four-car garage, and then all of a sudden there's no space on the piece of land for the house. And you say, well, you can sleep in the garage. The Bible today should be like the building plans to a builder. Except we as believers often navigate through life with our Bible gathering dust on our shelf. The Bible today should be like the building plans to a builder. We need to open God's word. We need to dig deeper into God's word and let it cut to my heart. I know what us men are thinking when it comes to building. I know you what you're thinking. You're thinking, I've never followed a plan in my life. Like those bunk beds you built for your kids. And you ended up with that pile of screws afterwards. To which my lovely wife would say, honey, weren't those supposed to go into the bed? By now she's shaking me. And I go, you know what, honey? they always give you more of these than what you actually need. Absolute lie. Because then later you kind of go, that funny bracket goes, oh, that's where the bracket goes. That makes sense now. Oh, hindsight's a beautiful thing, right? Hindsight's wonderful. The Bible eliminates hindsight. Just follow what the word says. We've got great men and women in our lives that are mentors without even knowing it. Michael, hearing your heart for the young people of New Zealand just sets a fire within. Why? Because I want to know Jesus more, and I want those kids to know Jesus more. It's humbling. And it's challenging. Because when God says, I want your life, He means that. He doesn't want a part of it. He doesn't want that little bit that we're willing to give Him. No. He wants everything, including all that dirty laundry. And I want to encourage us all that this place is a safe place and an amazing community and church to start dealing with that dirty laundry. So as we read God's word, as God's word cuts down to our innermost person, and we start getting those things, I want you to know that this is a place that we're not scared to journey with you. We're not scared to get dirty in the hole with you and doing life and faith together. As our culture around us changes, as all of that stuff races along, there's one thing that has never changed, and that's the Word of God. For it is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And the promises He gives me in here will never, never allow me to walk away from my faith. I want to challenge us this week. Who's got a smartphone? Everybody got a smartphone? Yeah? How much time do we spend on this thing? Hey? I have a bit of a YouTube addiction. I'm coming clean now, all right? So no judgment. You've got all your own addictions, like Facebook and Snapchat and Instagram and all that other stuff, or work. Screen time, whatever it is, YouTube and me, it's like adventure documentaries. I know, it's silly. But you know what, if I can't be out in the bush doing it, I want to be watching it. Okay? We've all got our vice. But I want to think this week, take your Bible with you along with your phone. And when you flip out your phone and you go on a YouTube or Facebook or Instagram and you're going, why don't we replace that with a Bible? Why don't we replace that with a Bible? You know, before you send that really important email, pick a gospel when you get home today and start reading it. And every time you reach for your phone, pick up your Bible first and carry on reading. And then maybe go to your phone and check Facebook. But it starts in the little things. If we put Jesus first in the little things, the big things will fall into place. So as the worship team comes back on, I wonder what the difference is that this would make in our lives if we put Jesus first. Great resource on Right Now Media is how to read the Bible. It's literally 5 short videos. Plug into that this week. 5 short videos, and I mean short. Most of them are 5 minutes, and you got 1 bonus video, which is 4 minutes. Okay? So it's really not a huge thing. But what difference would it make in our lives, in our families, in our marriages, in our relationships with our children, in our relationships at work, if we put Jesus first? And if we read His word. I want to finish this morning on a scripture. And for me, it deeply challenged me. deeply challenged me, as this Bible is challenging me. Imagine walking into a boardroom meeting for a businessman, and instead of putting your cell phone down on the table, you put your Bible down on the boardroom table. I want to be that man. Am I bold enough? Am I strong enough? Am I secure enough in who I am and my position to go, I'm putting Jesus in the middle of everything? I want to finish with this, and it challenged me to think that way. Because Luke 6, verses 48 to 49, if you work the words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who dug deep and laid the foundation of his house on bedrock. When the river burst its banks and crashed against the house, nothing could shake it. It was built to last. But if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you are like a dumb carpenter who built a house but skipped the foundation. When the swollen river came crashing in, it collapsed like a house of cards, and it was a total loss. I beg you, work these words into your life and watch what Jesus does in and through our community.